Stephen, I arbitrarily chose 54.60 as my par for this race. Be my guest if you want to choose a different number. I chose that because that's basically the right kind of figure for this level horse in my own work. Any problem with 54.60? So the first thing we have to do then is equalize all of those races to 54.60, assuming they're all the same level race. And we'll adjust for class in a moment. So now we'll take Phil Thorp Mariner's race then requires a minus 0.67 as the first step in the adjustment process. Believe me, when you fully understand this, this goes very quickly. Our Nordic, the initial adjustment's minus 0.68. Roosevelt Road, minus 0.67. Revolutionary, minus 0.47. And Tom, plus 0.26. Now that's the first step in the process of adjustment. And what we've done now is said that they're all the same level race, which they're not, and we're going to have to adjust that now as the next step. Bob?
You know that that's 54.60, but I don't. So if I just took 54.34 and adjusted them, I'd take them up. Well, if you're going to do it that way,
I'd pick something in the middle.
In the middle.
That requires the least amount of adjustment each way. Okay?
Because I don't know what the...
No, not unless you have another a part-time chart of your own. And what I did, so I just arbitrarily chose 54.60 because that's basically what I work with. So what I noted in the manual that it's arbitrarily chosen, so you can choose anything you want. The principle is what we're interested in.
Because it'll all be relative, right?
That's it. Okay. Any problems?
What would you do ordinarily? Add that up and divide by 5?
No, that's the hard way. That's the hard way. See, why bother? You're going to adjust them all to a given par anyway, so why don't we just look at that and say, okay, let's adjust them all to 55.07. Accomplish the same thing without having to go through the extra step.
But I mean, ordinarily, that's what it should be. Go through that and divide it by the number. And then add up the raw figures and divide by the number.
It won't
be any difference when you finish.
Okay, so,
whether it should be done that way, I don't know. That's basically what you are doing, yeah. Except that it's quicker just to pick one number and adjust to it. Quick and dirty, quick way.
Yeah, but if all of those, you're going to use that process. You're going to take all the valve 16s and have them adjust the valve 8 to that.
Now, there is, and I've tried to point that out before when we've done this. There is a danger in all of this. There's kind of a trade-off you make. First of all, if these horses were all coming out of the same level race, by doing this, you're saying all of those races were equal in terms of quality because we've just averaged them, right? That's not the case, obviously. If you keep a daily variant, you'll find that these races, actually some $20,000 races are better than others. I mean, that's one thing. If you're keeping a daily variant, what you wind up with is you wind up giving away price. Because you're getting the same horse that all of the handicappers are getting that keep a data variant, and most of them do these days. You know, the racing form, not the racing form, but most of your handicapping services, the Selvin Handicappers Report, Inside Track, some of the rest of those. So what you do is you lock into the shorter price horses. This approach is much like UltraScan. You're gaining price in doing it this way. You're going to lose some of the higher rated horses, and you're going to bring up some of the lower rated horses, but you're going to key into price, and you'll get a better average mutual doing it this way than you will with a variant service, for example, like mine even. Because what I do is measure the quality of the race it came out of, and a lot of people can do that. And you lock into a figure that a lot of other people can lock into. So this is actually, this will drive price. The other side of that coin, though, is you can't sit there and say, Jesus, have I got an enormous advantage that I know exists because I measured that race. Therefore, I can bet more money on it. You can't quite do it this way. So you trade off one for the other. And this is a perfectly acceptable way of playing the horses using this approach to variance.
The point that Doc Seiden just brought up about one of these races, I forget, being a different distance.
That's Tom's race.
Okay. What do you suffer by using that?
Nothing. You don't serve anything here.
I thought he implied that there was some...
No. What I said was if he's going to average, he wanted to average all of them. I said if you're going to do that, Tom said that was not optimal, it takes longer. Average the mile and a 16th and derive a variant from them, and then adjust Tom will run a different distance to the mile and a 16th.
Bring him up,
which is today's event.
You just want to bring it up as far as you would do anything.
So there is no.
No, there's nothing.
Don't even consider.
No, you see, so now what you manage here,
none of these happen to be sprinters. But what you manage to do is make your sprinter out. You're making a distance adjustment between a mile and an eighth and a mile and a 16th here. It's automatic. If one of these happened to be a sprinter, you might get a number like 56.25. Well, there's your sprinter out. You just bring him down to whatever you made as the par. There's your sprinter out. Track to track, same thing. Same process, identical process. Now, but now we have to adjust for class because a $25,000 race isn't necessarily a 20. And certainly a 20 isn't a 32, and I think, do we have anybody from a 32? No, I don't think we do. So what we want to do is adjust these for class. And if you'll take a part-time chart from anybody's book or anybody's service, you'll find that as you run the variant program on each one of these distances and levels, you'll find that there is a pretty natural gradation between one level to the other, and that's about 0.15 per level. Now, the same thing for track to track, 0.15 per class level. It's quick, you don't have to go through that 20%, 40% routine, and when there's no difference between the tracks, 20 and 40% means nothing to you either. But if you use 0.15 per level, and kind of scale that down when you're talking about multiple levels, in other words, use 0.15 for one level, 0.27 for two levels, and about a 0.36 for three levels. Don't go crazy on this, because if you'll just take the time to run through a part-time chart, you'll see that that pretty much holds true as you go up and down through your class levels. So let's make a statement right now that it's 0.15 per one level of class. And we'll use 0.27 for two levels of class. And in this case, I don't believe we have a two-level difference.
Can I interject? Two people asked me this question before we started. 0.15 is a feet per second adjustment, not a time adjustment or anything else.
That's what it is. 0.15
on your variant program. 0.15 against factor W. Okay? Any problems with that right now? Because it's crucial you get it. Yes?
No problem on where the class, where we're set, where we're looking 40 to 50, agenda 12, right?
That's it. No, you'll find
from a part-time chart, if you just take any chart and work through it using the variant program, you'll find that the gradation is about 0.15, and then it tends not to stay 0.15 over three levels or so. But 0.15 for one level is just about on. Chris?
I understand that perfectly as applied to phase three handicapping, but now when Dick Schmidt started to talk about a little bit, when you're using UltraScan, okay, now how do you compensate for...
We're doing this race also with UltraScan.
We're going to do it with UltraScan.
You can use class, the 0.15 class level in UltraScan?
No.
Howard's going to get to that in a moment.
Okay.
What I suggest that you do, though,
is take your UltraScan program and a part-time chart and work through that same process. Using your PAR generator through the levels. Find out what one might vary. Okay.
When we do this race on UltraScan, when we get to the...
You'll cover that?
We'll cover it thoroughly, this and several others.
Actually,
but
you could just say yes, no for your time.
Well, we'll show you how we did it, but right now, think in terms of doing it this way, because if you can do it this way, then any shortcut you take later, you'll still have a basis of what you should be doing.
And that's one of the
reasons we're spending so much time on this first race. And I don't know whether we'll finish all five or not, but if we don't, just go home and work them, because I've annotated all of the charts. The process is complete in here. But we've got to get it, we got to get the process down. The principles have all got to be in place, or we're back on that road with all the detours again. Okay? So, let's adjust this field. I chose 54.60 as since this is a $20,000 race, 54.60 is the $20,000 par for this particular race. So, Felthorpe Mariner requires no adjustment because he comes from a $20,000 race. So there's no class adjustment placed on Felthorpe Mariner's race, nor is there one placed on Roosevelt Roads race. our Nordic drops two levels here. And our Nordic then gets a 0.27 plus for having dropped. Now, don't be concerned that we're promoting a horse that doesn't have a whole lot of back class. If he stands up after this, fine. If he doesn't, fine too. Because we're not measuring how he ran yet. How he ran against the pace of the race he was in is going to be when we run them all through the computer. Revolutionary gets a plus 0.15 for class because he's dropping out of the race we chose at 25. And Tom gets a plus 0.15 because he's dropping from a $25,000 race. Yes?
Well, it's
in terms of the pace variant. Okay? And basically, yes, it is feet per second. But when you start talking about factor W, we're not into pure feet per second because it's a contrived rating as opposed to a second call rating, which is an actual measurement.
It's an energy.
Yeah. Be careful with that. Yes?
If you've got sire still in there, how much of an adjustment would you give
him? About three levels, two and a half levels. About 0.39, somewhere in there, 0.36. Whatever I said a few minutes ago. You know, I don't often adjust three levels, so I mean that's one I have to think through every time I do it. Yeah.
Level 5 pounds?
A level? About 12.5 to 16
to 20 to 25, just the claiming levels that you find at your racetrack.
What is an allowance to apply?
Then you have to know your racetrack well enough to know what that adjustment is. Now, like at Del Mar, for example, the non-winners of ones are about equivalent to a 32 in terms of the type of race they run on a part-time chart. At Bay Meadows, they're more like 16s and 20s running at non-winners of ones. So you just have to know that. That's a little work that you have to do. Okay. All right, let's put some figures on the board now because we're right there. And in fact, let's not bother with that. Please turn to page 22. I've done it for you. Now, this is a phase three readout. The chart of the race shows Revolutionary winning by half a length, Tom second by two, our Nordic third, Felthorpe Mariner fourth, and Master Navajo fifth. But down at the bottom, I beg your pardon? Oh, I'm sorry, I did not. I didn't finish that. The final adjustments here are the matter, it's just a matter of adding or subtracting the adjustment versus class. In the case of Felthorpe Mariner, it's minus 0.67 when you run it through your computer. And then you run the pace line as it appears in your form. Just go right to the thing you do every day now. Our Nordic is minus 0.41. Roosevelt Road is minus 0.67. Revolutionary is minus 0.32. And Tom is plus 0.41. Those are your complete adjustments as you run that into the computer.
Yes, only you've done it on the spot here. Right.
And that goes into the open adjustment. There was no whether you're running phase three where these go. They get that question on the column.
Sorry, I made an
assumption. I just jumped forward there.
This last column is the only one that goes in the computer.
Yeah, I did make a jump there. You realize that this is the number that you put in when you run the horse now in relation to the five contenders, right? Okay. Let's take a look at it for a minute. The first thing you want to do is identify the pace and see how much of an edge somebody might have. And if you take a look at early pace, you'll find that nobody's got an advantage there. There are three horses that more or less lock up at second call. Now, that would have to be a consideration if one horse dominated at second call. But nobody does. Felthorpe Mariner appears to have the lead at first call, but not by that big a margin over our Nordic and Revolutionary. Now, can you read through these numbers with me? Do you know what I'm talking about here? Okay. So going back to the model on this racetrack, being pretty loose between a three early to a two sustained, and please buy into the fact that the perfect model fit in here is Revolutionary. Tied for number one early pace, and in spite of being tied for number one early pace, he is still the number two sustained pace, which says that probably at second call he's going to be breathing down her necks, and he basically was, although Felthorpe Mariner, I guess, still had two lengths. Does anybody have any problem getting from where we began to this point? Because if you take one wrong move, you're out in left field. Now, this is a good price horse. This horse paid, what, $12.20? With a big exacta, $581 exacta to a 7-1 shot. Now, let's look at Tom for a minute. I would never have bet Tom to win in here because he doesn't fit my model. He's number 5 average, number 5 early. But the key for me in most of my exacta play is to take that number 1 sustained pace horse and put it in the bottom hole as a regular practice. But see, you get two sides of that coin. You get the number 1 average pace horse. At the same time, you're taking the number 1 sustained pace horse. So you kind of get a double edge there. So Tom pretty much has to be used in a Quinella or an exacta because he incorporates two of the strongest place model type characteristics. Yes?
First of all, I'm sorry I spoke so disparagingly of Tom. Number two, this is a dumb question, but I'm going to ask something. You have your raw numbers up there. Now, if I don't know that it's 5460 from the par from the figures you gave, I can adjust it all to a low figure, an average of, or?
These will come out the same no matter what you adjust.
Alright, should I add them up and divide by 5 or adjust them all to 5507?
It doesn't matter.
Be my guest.
It doesn't matter.
Does not matter.
These numbers, the relationship between these numbers.
But to answer that question again, as it was asked before, if you're going to average them that way, average the 4 mile and a 16th and then adjust the mile and an eighth to them. Otherwise, you're going to have a figure that's going to work, but it's not going to be meaningful to you for your future experience.
You know, it really is, it's a bit, whichever way you go.
It's just you create a little extra work for yourself by having to go through the averaging process.
If this one goes to 0, then this one goes to plus 81. But the relationship between them, I'm sorry, 82, it's still 82. It's the relationship that you care about.
Now, this flat work, and most of you I've told before in this kind of a session, this just flat works. It's a great way to play the races. I played the entire Oak Tree meeting last year because I had let my variants fall into disuse during the Del Mar meeting and Pomona meeting. And that was one of the best meetings of my life in terms of average mutual. My win percentage is a little higher when I'm using my own variants just because I know when to unload. But you also pick up the benefit of price using it, approaching it this way. So I tend to do it both ways. I use my own variants, and in races that I can't really get a strong line on, I approach it this way. Yes?
I'd like to just clear up, I might have missed something. On that 5460 average, are you saying that actually by using a daily, take a certain class to come to that 5460 to get the par? How are you arriving at your par figures?
Well, I have a part-time chart that Bob Purdy and I developed. And that part-time chart, as I work through it, shows 5460 as being kind of a common number to earn at this particular level. That's what I use, but it doesn't matter. Yeah, I like to work with numbers that are realistic to me in terms of what I do, my average variant, right, or my regular variant. So I choose that when I do this also, just because I'm used to knowing what 5450 means, what 5460 means. It doesn't really matter, though. It's all relative.
Not even do that. Don't even
do that. Just grab any one of them. Anything that's lot, you could do it to anything. Just grab one and average all to it.
Adjust them all to 5507 there and see if it doesn't work.
Right.
Try it right now.
We'll do
see
it.
If it doesn't
we'll
work.
We'll do it. I'll even come through with phase 3. I'll do a little scan for you.
Okay. One last point I want to make. Yes.
Is it like any one of them using or even if they're different distances?
Sure. You do have to average to a common par, even if they're different distances. If they're different distances, though, suppose you got one sprinter in there. I would take them all to one. I would take it all to one of the route numbers, though, and not the sprint number, because you want to work with in a route. You want to work with route numbers, and in a sprint, you want to work with sprint numbers, just because you begin to realize the values, you know, the differences. Now, one of the benefits to keeping a daily variant, for example, is that I like to bet shippers. I also have a horses to watch list, and anytime a horse exceeds what he was supposed to do or what the race was supposed to do, I enter that onto my horses to watch list, and that's a high source of winners for me. Prices aren't all that great because everybody's doing the same thing, but nevertheless, the consistency is great. In this, you're just averaging to any number you want to pick. But as long as you do them all the same way, you're fine.
Average base is back to W, right?
Back to W.
And the early base is same base plus TS.
True speed. True speed.
No, true speed, I very seldom pay any attention to it. Okay?
Don't worry about it.
Just have to be in the IBM.
Just have you down this program.
That, to me, a lot of my handicapping is done just on a racing form anyway. I just write down the factor W, early and late relationship, period. I quite often don't even hook up my printer. Okay, that is the crux of the whole method, the SART methodology. Early, late, and the relationships between the two of them and how horses run against that pace. It's the crux of the whole game. The rest of them are work at time, a lot of them window dressing, if nothing else. You know, makes a lot of us feel warm and gooey, but... Okay, any problem? Yes?
What happens if your different averages come from, like, let's say, two or three different tracks?
Then you have to adjust for
track class. And the same 0.15 per level. And the same sliding scale. If I take a horse from Bay Meadows, for example, I usually adjust him about 0.36, 0.27. I mean, if it's two levels below, I adjust it about 0.27. If it's three levels below, 0.36.
For example, going from Golden Gate to Hollywood Park.
Just what he said.
Just what I said. You have to know the structure of the two racetracks. You have to know which one is... what you have to do is you have to... The racing form occasionally publishes the different track classes, for example. And under the number one track class, you'll find Hollywood Park, Santa Anita, Belmont, Aqueduct, and so on. Number two, you'll find others, and number three, you'll find certain others.
Showing you in the AC manual. There's also another one in the back of the...
Page 55 in the
other. Yeah, there's a more recent one in the back of the factor analysis manual.
Page 54.
Handling shippers is a piece of cake that way.
So you're saying that same time, if you were going from another track and was also changing class, or was a different class, it could be plus 3-0.
Yeah, or if he was coming from a weaker track, it would cancel this class. See, I mean, first thing you have to do is take him to $25,000 at the other track, then drop him in terms of track class. Just kind of an addition subtraction problem for you, that's all.
It can be a double adjustment, sure, if you have
track class involved. Yeah, yes.
On this percent early, I noticed Tom has percent early of 50.08.
Uh-huh.
That doesn't fit the route model. Now, does, I thought
it's the route place model.
Okay, that's what
I wouldn't bet a nickel on Tom to win, even though he almost won a race. I would not have bet a nickel on him in here.
You get the model of all together. Okay.
Look at Revolutionary. Revolutionary is
clearly within the parameters we drew. Okay, and plus he's got everything else going for him. Okay, Tom is clearly out, but he is number one APV and number one sustained. One last point I'm going to make here because we're going to talk about it. Remember when I said before you have the route model and you try to match to it, except when you have a pace matchup that favors one horse drastically. Does everybody in this room know what one length equates to at a half a mile? What is one length? Suppose, let me ask you, let's do it a little differently. Because to me this is also critical. And a lot of my bets are based right here. Let's say you've got two horses in your matchup. And you have a second call time in a sprint of 58.40 and another second call time 57.60. Does anybody know? Now remember, this is a true measurement. Second call is a measurement. We're talking in pure feet per second right here. Can anybody tell me what the length difference is between these two?
Two lengths.
How many?
I think two lengths.
Okay, anybody else?
What is it, 57.60?
57.60, 58.40. I find, as I talk with a lot of you on an ongoing basis, I realize that not many people realize what these numbers actually mean in their printout. Anybody else? Okay, just take a cut. Who thinks they really know what this difference is?
0.11.
How many?
0.11 per length.
Anybody else? This is interesting. There you go. Now, I'm going to tell you how you find this out at the second call in a route and a second call in a sprint. Please do this with a calculator. The second call in a sprint is 2,640 feet, right? Divide that by 40, let's say we have a 45-1. Divide 2640 by 45.2. Remember, you're into tenths now when you use your calculator. Please divide 2640 by 45.2 and let me know what you get. 5840. Now, divide 2640 by 45 and 4, which is 45.8. I'm sorry, what?
5845.
45.8? Use 45.8 and divide that into 2640. All right, I already knew the answer to all of this. Okay, now what is the difference between these two horses at the second call?
Three lengths.
Okay, know that. I got to tell you that if you're playing phase three and you don't know the relative differences in the actual measurements, which are first call, second call, and your final fraction.
Little blue supplements into the other charts for all these things.
But you should know that mentally.
So the minute you look and try to make your matchups, you realize that this horse, the first horse, has got a three-length edge. Even if the other horse is a better sustained horse, 3 lengths is, I mean, how often do you see when they straighten out at Del Mar and these other tracks, a horse that is a contender for you with a 3-length lead get beat? Now, if he's a non-contender, that's different. I mean, the horse is a chronic quitter. But if he's a contender for you and he's opened up 3 lengths in your matchup, why don't we bet that horse? It's 0.25 per length. So pay attention to the numbers that you generate, not just the rankings. People get too tied up in these rankings. Pay attention to your numbers. Visualize the way the race is being run. I think that's the most powerful tool. I mean, if you throw away the rankings, you know, and just visualize the race based on the numbers you generate. Now, what about the second call in a route? 0.15. I'm not going to go through the exercise, but it's 0.15. And the way you find out is divide 3960 by 111, for example, and turn around, or 71, then divide it again by 111.1 or 71.2. That'll tell you what 1 length actually is. So if you see a horse in your matchups, let's look at these now. Felthorpe Mariner, R. Nordic, and Roosevelt Road, Revolutionary, and Tom. Suppose that we have Revolutionary at 55.72, and the very next second call time was 55.20. Here's a router that is a strong contender for you that would be 3 lengths in front at the second call. Please pay attention to that, because you're going to cash a lot of bets as a result of knowing how these things actually match up in terms of lengths and visualizing the race. I can't stress that enough, because most people do not do this. And a lot of our people fall by the wayside and lose a lot of good bets because they don't. I mean, they'll get locked into the model I gave them without realizing that in certain instances, when a race matches up in a certain manner, that some horses have unbeatable advantages. Yes?
So which horse has the advantage
now in this particular race? No way.
Oh, in this one? Oh, this one right here. It's got a 3-length edge. If they're both contenders and they're both bettable for you and no one is in the middle of this, this horse is in a position of having to gain 3 lengths on this one. And unless it's a type of track that allows this horse to pick up that 3 lengths against an unopposed leader, if that kind of track, then you'd have to weigh that. But in most racetracks, when you're 3 lengths clear at the second call, and remembering where the second call is, folks, that second call is over here. Realize that they've run all the way down the chute, around the turn, accelerated around the turn, and they're straightening out right here. Now, how often do you see one of your contenders with a 3-length lead get beat here? I'd rather have that 3-length edge than have to catch it, I got to tell you.
Yes?
How much of an advantage in sustained pace would a horse have to overcome that?
Just compute it.
It depends on your racetrack. Some racetrack, that's when you get back to the 1.1, 1.2, 1.3 racetracks. And you'll just have to compute that, because it'll vary at your different racetracks. But generally, if I have that kind of an edge, I'll bet the front runner. I just will, unless they just cave in there. Yes?
So I'm very new to this thing. At Del Mar, I had twice it happened to me where the race was a route.
Uh-huh.
And out of maybe, say, 7 contenders, I had 2 that had run a route before and the other 5 were stretching out. The way I didn't know anything about adjustment at that point, I'm just learning today. But the way I did it was adjust the route of that sprinting time, and I came down 1-1-1 at the top. So I'm asking, in a situation like that, if you have 4 sprint sprints of this is one root.
Well, then I just...
to the common number.
To the sprints, yeah.
I mean, if four of your horses, I mean, that's the easiest way to do it is to adjust them all to the sprinters. Unfortunately, your numbers aren't going to quite look right to you if you understand the numbers. That's fine. I mean, whatever works. I mean, I am not a theoretician. Is a theoretician. I am not. If it works, I'll bet it. Okay, I am pragmatic, and if that's fine, I mean, I just don't tamper with things that win for me. And the one thing you weigh there when you match those four up is your percent early. That is one great way of separating those sprinters as to whether they're going to run. Okay, we took a lot of time on this one. Howard's going to cover the ultrascan piece of it. The rest of them will go a lot faster.
This comes off of the combo scan program, which lets you look at everything once. On the first one, you look at it as it is. On the one that says adjusted by computer and the one that says adjusted manual, draw a line through the UV. Those UV rankings mean nothing on the computer or manually adjusted. Draw a light line through it. Just in a situation like this where the horses are coming off of different tracks, and in Tom's case, different distance, different daily variance, your raw ultra scan is designed primarily to separate your contenders. If you were to just use raw alone, your top two horses were Felt Top and Roosevelt. Revolutionary, that's just raw. That's not designed for making bets in this particular type of race. If you wanted to stop where people who are in their 60s and 70s do stop and do quite well, you just move over one to ultrascan invariant, and your bet would be Revolutionary and R. Nordic. They won and showed. Tom, to those of you who have followed the percent of the place horse, would be, put Tom in there. So your three horses and your three horse exacta Quinella would be, ironically, the horses that came in first, second, and third. There's any questions on that? The ultrascan invariant readout. Now, the ultrascan invariant readout uses a meridian adjustment of 56 arbitrarily plus 53 for the third fraction. Don't let the fact that it uses a third fraction throw you because they balance and equate each other. This is what the people use who don't want to go into a great deal of extra work, and this is very successful. It is all I personally use. I use the two readings, ultra invariant, and I use the early late and the expenditure of energy early. I'm a mass player. I play 20, 30 races a day in Las Vegas, wear myself out in 4 days, and that's it. And that's all I use. I'm not recommending that for other people. Until such time as you own a copy of the Brohammer model and you're able to see how to make a model from just these readouts, we'll go to the next step. Notice the slight difference in the rankings of early and late in the ultrascan and in the phase three. That is because a different formula is used in compiling them. Notice also that the percentage of early energy expenditure is much more important in ultrascan than it is in phase three because it supersedes the rankings of early and late. Notice that Revolutionary, while he's fourth in late pace, is truly third in percentage. His percentage of energy expenditure making the third best sustained horse, the best being Tom, second best being Roosevelt. When you use a computer adjustment, you're using only 56. You're not using a third fraction adjustment. When you use a computer, you're using the open adjustment only, which is 56. It's done for you. If you just say yes to the open and zero for third fraction, you will get the set of figures that you see under computer, and in which case, of course, you remember, you use the US rating and cross out the UV, because it has been doubly adjusted and is meaningless. So you have the horse
who came in third is ranked second. The horse that won is ranked first. The horse that placed fits the LP model and is the counter energy horse by an extreme. In the third, with using Tom's arbitrary on 19 par, arbitrarily chosen 5460, it asks you to enter, the program asks you either enter your own pars or let the computer figure one for you. In this case, I entered our own pars established by Tom as 5460. What happened was you got a slightly different ranking. Felt Cop got a little higher, a little better by using Tom's than by using the computers.
Would you enter
those?
No.
Well, Tom's derivation from these numbers was 5460, right?
Yeah.
I entered it.
Would it ask for adjustment to put in?
Well, open adjustment
546. I put in 5460 as the.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The nice thing about the combo scan program is that it's much easier to handle to get all these readouts at once than the old ultra scan. That's why we adapted to. You get all these readouts. So what you have here is four readouts. You have ultra and variant in the top one, who gets you a pretty good situation there. You got the winner and the show horse without thinking. And the show horse paid four something. $4 even. Or is that a six? Eh? $4 even. Not bad. Some people, the little old ladies live forever on $4 show horses. And you got the winner that paid $12.20, and you didn't have to do anything except put them in and hope for the best. Had you put in a horse we spent so much time on, it would have come out third. I did it while you were arguing. That one that you wanted to go back to the mile race, Golden Gate, properly done. You'll notice that in this there is no adjustment made in any way for class, no adjustment in any way made for any track or any other situation. The only adjustment that is made is to a meridian variant of 56A or to Tom's variant of 5460B. Nothing else is added. Sir?
Just so I get this, Doctor.
Huh?
Just so I get this.
Sure.
So when I drive home on the freeway, I say, oh, I didn't get that. Do you want to make adjustments now? No. Correct? And this is what we're going to get on the ultra program.
Okay.
If on your ultra program that you have now, you would say no and get the top figures.
Okay.
That's all you would get. On combo scan, it wouldn't matter. You would be asked to have a par. Enter either your own or use the computers, and you would get the second two sets.
So if I just have ultra scan, you want me to go, no, I'm going to get this raw reading.
Yeah, you would then use the ultra scan and variant reading as your
handicapping in this race, and you get the winner first and the show horse second. And you would get Tom. There's one race in here which Tom got a very large exacta we would not have got doing this.
Just on the raw?
No, there's one he got that we wouldn't have got.
Oh.
You see, what Tom is doing is precisely what he said. He's taking that extra effort. And whether you use that extra effort with ultra scan or with phase three, you'd still get horses that you won't get this way. But yet you got the winner in that race. We'll do it later. But you didn't get the place horse, and that was the key to the $500. So you blew $500. You made it in this race, but there is just a slight additional edge, and that edge is not so much in how many you'll win, because you'll probably win just as many this way, maybe not the same races, but the edge is knowing when you can make that large bet as Tom will make when he gets those perfect fits. Ultra scan. You could look at this ultra scan thing here and you could say, I don't know where they are at any point in the race. And he would be quite correct in saying that's his objection to ultra scan. I know felt top, well, I can see that from the figures, is right up there at early pace. He's half a length better than Revolutionary, which it shows, and a little bit better than R. Nordic, which it shows. It doesn't, but it doesn't show you the relationship, as does Phase 3. The percentage of early is a very, very good indication of this race, though. Revolutionary, if you were keeping a model for this period, fits it perfectly. And Tom is the perfect counter-energy horse. And R. Nordic is right in that same pack that would let you indicate that it would be in the top three. Any questions now?
I have a question. On the ultrascan program I have, apparently when you enter the 5460, we must be talking about a different program. Mine calls for like a one, you know, your...
That's fine.
Then you have to compile that on that one, though. You have to compile it. You have to say if you're going to use 5460, are you going to get a different horse than using 56? You're not. You're not. But it says, if you want to do that way, that's why we have the new combo scan. 3-in-1 also allows you to do it that way, enter your own. You get the same identical horse by using 56. They've demonstrated that here. It's amazing how brilliant people cannot accept the fact that no matter what number you use, you're going to get the same ranking on the horses.
Are you saying that in the adjustment you would put in at 50s are at 67? That's what you're saying, aren't the minus 67?
Well,
because if I put in, for instance, 5460 in the first adjustment,
you would put 5460.
You have to use the energy program first.
All right, use the energy.
He's talking about an advanced program that does it for you.
In your present ultrascan program, to get what it says here, manual, that ranking, you would enter the open adjustment that the computer suggested and zero for the third fraction adjustment. You would get these same horses in exactly this order, but your meridian would be 56 as opposed to 5460. Asher?
Am I correct in assuming that I'm inputting using the Phase 3 program now? I'm inputting for the pace line. The only adjustment we're using is that daily varying adjustment or no third fraction adjustment.
On your Phase 3, your day-to-day variant, your daily variant, your track-to-track variant, and your class are all done this way.
I understand that, but we have not, in this particular instance, at least Tom hasn't mentioned it, whether he included to get these figures a track variant.
He did.
The variant is a variant, Asher. It doesn't matter. Once you have established using the pace line, you were using that day's daily variant.
I understand that.
Okay.
But in the case of where in the daily racing form you have a daily variant of 10 or an 18, is there any adjustment in that?
That was covered by
just taking the pace of the race the horses came from.
Yeah, it's all taken care of here.
That's all taken care of.
Yeah, that's the reason, for example,
on Revolutionary you have a smaller adjustment than Roosevelt, because
chances are Roosevelt ran on a track that might have been 12 and Revolutionary might have run on a track that was 14. We're making an on-the-spot variant right here. If you're going to use the data racing form variant, you can't do any of this. Just use it 0.08 a variant or whatever. The only you're enslaved to that data racing form variant, which is crazy. You know, it's averages sprints and routes both, and it just doesn't do the job.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah, this takes care of all of it. It's an on-the-spot variant, takes care of it all for you. If you're using a variant service, for example, you don't do this. You just plug in the variants that you're given.
I'd rather use this.
It's better.
It generates price. But you don't have to worry about data racing form variant. All it's taken care of right there.
A
variant is a variant is a variant. A variant is an energy figure. How much energy was generated by distance, by the day, by the surface, is measured by the pace of the race. Each one of these horses was measured against each other by the pace of the race they came from, because on the assumption that you've eliminated the non-contenders, then each one of those pace lines was valid. And all variants are taken care of in the one figure, sir.
Thank you.
You use the daily the racing digest variance that would tend toward more chalk.
Why use an arbitrary, except one that is devised in, from our methodology, which Tom services very inexpensively, why use somebody's variant who is based on their figures, on their method, unless you know their method? You might as well use their method if you're going to use their variant. You certainly may.
I spent quite a bit of time determining what, per point of racing digest variant, what that equaled in our methodology. The problem with that is, first of all, they don't weigh that. Second call is the pivotal time in our work. And if that second call is either extraordinarily high or extraordinarily low, that really affects our variant, while maybe final time isn't a big problem. Theirs is based basically on final time to start with. Then, as you go from Santa Anita to Hollywood, and they show their variant as five lengths fast, for example, you have to know what, on their own charts, they call their pars. In other words, five lengths fast at Hollywood doesn't equal five lengths fast at Del Mar without knowing exactly what they made their final times. It's almost impossible to do. You need track-to-tracks. The variant that the digest publishes is just subject to too many flaws.
This method then would be really primo to use, say, like go to Pomona meet.
Sure, that's exactly how I played the whole Pomona meet. I don't use any of my variants. And when I go to Oak Tree, I don't use Pomona races for Oak Tree races because they just don't hold up. But I play the entire Pomona meet exactly like that.
Yes, and you do very well.
If you look at Pomona, you'll see on the surface how that horse couldn't possibly win. This equalizes them in such a manner as that you get them, especially the first week at Pomona, you can make a small fortune.
Yeah,